This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. You made it to Friday. It's April 26, 2019. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. Right now, we've got sunny skies. That will continue for a while today. Tomorrow, though, you don't want to hear it, but we're looking at some snow.
Well, there's a lot of information for the markets to digest so far today, and the financial markets are mixed as we cross the noon hour. Let's get the latest on trading from Bloomberg and Mark Mills.
Good afternoon. Well, we have stocks edging higher on better-than-forecast earnings. Small gains, though. The Dow Jones Industrial is up 12 points. The S&P 500, the broader market, up 2 points, about a tenth of a percent. And the NASDAQ is lagging. It's down about a tenth of a percent. Toyota plans to begin building two more Lexus SUVs in Canada starting next year, according to people familiar with the matter. The University of Michigan's National Consumer Sentiment Index for April is down from a month earlier, reflecting a dimmer economic outlook for the next 12 months. And Avengers Endgame took in a domestic record $60 million in Thursday night preview shows, setting the picture up for what many predict will be an all-time high opening weekend. Back to you.
Thank you. And on today's Noon Business Hour, among the topics we're going to be talking about, the U.S. economy grows by more than 3% in the first quarter, topping expectations.
And it's Entrepreneur Friday. We will talk about the business of golf course management. That is at 12:39. And then we go to Detroit, talk to automotive correspondent Jeff Gilbert about a great day at Ford. We'll explain why their stock is trading at almost a record high. We'll talk about that and more coming up on the Noon Business Hour.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Amazon is looking to cut its free delivery time from 2 days to one. We'll cover that in our next segment. Right now, a key measure of the U.S. economy leads today's data. Let's get a talk about the gross domestic product and more with Andrew Bush, former chief markets intelligence officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and political economist at andrewbush.com based in Chicago. Andy, welcome back to the program. 3.2% economic growth in the first quarter, topping expectations by a lot. Let's take a look under the hood, Andy. What is there to like about this GDP report, and what is there? What gives you pause?
Well, it's a fantastic number, first of all. I mean, no one was expecting 3% GDP growth. If you go back to December and you look at the Atlanta Federal Reserve's GDP now, they were looking for 0.3% GDP growth in the first quarter. I mean, this is a big number. And the best thing about it is the exports number. That really drove a lot of the growth. It was 1% of the 3%. So that was the biggest positive that's out there. The negative is the consumer spending was weak, right? So we had the government shutdown. We had bad weather. That rose at just 1.2% rate in the first quarter, and that was down from 2.5% in the fourth quarter. So that's a little bit weak. And then the inflation number was weak in there as well. So that's a little bit disconcerting. You know, when the Fed looks at interest rates, they look at a wide range of issues and numbers and data, but the GDP number is very strong. But what's fascinating is that we have low unemployment and just really very little inflation in this economy. It is really doing well.
And some of the other numbers in this report, disposable personal income up by 3%, prices increasing by just 1.3%. When you're talking about a lack of inflation, that does that also factor in personal income starting to rise a little bit? Because before, the knock on the economy was that paychecks weren't getting fatter as a result, but now that's starting to happen.
Yeah, and that's great news for everyone who's working, who has a job. It's fantastic. I mean, this is something that the Federal Reserve was really focused on, and a lot of politicians are focused on, is getting people's earnings up. And it's even better because inflation is very, very low. So that means your real purchasing power has gone up as you get paid more. Fantastic. Happy days. This is really – that's the crux of the matter. Now, the Fed has gone on hold, right? This is why we had this massive rally from the end of December to today, and why we're kind of stalling out here, because this is new information. This basically says the economy is doing extraordinarily well. The only thing that really is holding the Fed back from thinking about raising rates again is inflation. So as long as that stays pretty low, the Fed's going to stay on hold. And I think the Fed's going to stay on hold for a long period of time here. I just don't see them acting or having a reason to act to raise rates or lower them for the next 6 months.
Andy, what does this report say to U.S. partners as well as China?
Well, I think it's really important because it shows in the negotiations with China why we're going to focus on getting rid of that trade deficit with them. If you eliminated the trade deficit with China, it's about $226 billion. You would raise U.S. GDP by that amount, so it's another 1% of growth on top of the economy, because we run a deficit, and that just gets subtracted off of total GDP numbers. But if you add that back in, it looks so much better. So I expect a trade deal with China to be announced by the end of May. It'll be signed sometime in June, but it will have components in there that it's going to be really good for the Midwest, because there's going to be a lot of stuff about buying agriculture products, and we make a lot of that in the Midwest.
On the subject of the China trade deal, very quickly, some of the criticism about a potential China trade deal would be that it didn't address the that it strictly addressed agriculture and heartland of America issues and does not address intellectual property. If that is the end result of this trade deal, is that considered a win, or did they leave some things on the table?
Well, you nailed it. That's the sticking point for this negotiations. It's intellectual property and enforcement, right? And so we have a lot of intellectual property in this country, a lot of great companies, a lot of technology companies creating that, and it's getting stolen by Chinese. So we need to stop that, and we need to have an enforcement mechanism to follow through if China doesn't stick up to those agreements. Now, it looks like they're going to do something on that front. This is what we've just heard kind of leaking out from China, so there's hope that they'll get it done. But I would say you're right. I mean, if that agreement between China and the United States doesn't have those two things, then it will be viewed as a negative, and really the markets will probably not like it at all.
Thanks for joining us today, Andy. Andrew Bush is former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and political economist at andrewbush.com here in Chicago. Coming up, Amazon is doubling its profits while announcing it's going to cut free delivery time in half.
Making sense of your dollars, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Amazon says free shipping for Prime members will be even faster, promising one-day delivery on most items instead of two. And let's take a look at the impact with Bob Phibbs. He is CEO of Retail Doctor and RetailDoc.com in New York. Welcome to the Noon Business Hour, Bob.
How
is Amazon doing on the word of this, and how are its competitors looking at them?
Well, of course, everybody is quick to say, oh, that Amazon is going to put everybody else out. But, you know, Target and Walmart are pretty well in the game now, that Amazon is not the only one around. And I think we're certainly seeing that. Look, when you look at the report, their physical stores are only like up 1%. And most of the growth from Amazon still comes from AWS. So they got free capital they're able to use to expand in all these other areas. So it's a concern, of course, but that last mile of how you're going to be able to deliver on that, everyone's trying to figure that out.
It's not that profitable. Are we going to see other big companies doing this too?
I think you're going to have to. Certainly the Target and Walmart are probably roll out something similar. Everyone's trying everything now. And the problem is that no one's found a profitable way to really do that. Amazon has this capital. They can get away with it.
You talk about the last mile where the person actually drops the package off at your house, and then Alexa lights up and tells you that your package is here. Does this mean that Amazon is going to have to spend that extra money creating new fulfillment centers, staffing up, hiring new drivers, or are they just going to go the long-rumored drone route?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Amazon can put anything out, and they will get pressed. I don't see drones going down Michigan State or Michigan Avenue anytime soon. But yes, it is going to be very intense, and that's why they offered second quarter guidance that is going to take a lot of money. And again, you know, they've got a lot behind them. So how does that play out? Well, I think it's anybody's guess, but the game is far from over from them, because being profitable in that is not like AWS.
No, in terms of infrastructure, it seems that Target and Walmart have something that Amazon does not, and that is the store network that could probably serve as a hub for some type of competing service.
Absolutely, and even in shuttered department stores, we're calling those dark stores now, that they may not reopen. They may just end up being fulfillment centers, so they're close to suburbs and to freeways, and that's certainly, you know, the interesting part of all of this, of course, is what's going to happen with Kohl's? Are they the next takeover? Is that what Amazon is priming? You know, the announcement this last Monday, how they were going to be taking the returns, seems to fit into that narrative that they might just be the next play.
So, in other words, look for Jeff's private jet at Mitchell International Airport in Milwaukee, and just see if there's some sort of motorcade going between the airport and Menomonee Falls.
Exactly, Rob.
Well, that is interesting. Because Amazon had some trouble digesting Whole Foods. How would a Kohl's acquisition work logistically inside of Amazon?
Well, they've got a great CEO, but also the whole network of what they've built with being able to take the free returns means the systems are compatible. Clearly, there's not been a pushback to the brand. People seem to feel that is a good thing for them. So, you know, we've been rumored it before. Some people thought the Target might be. I think Target's too much in the game. But it'll be anybody's guess in the next couple of years to see what happens.
Well, it'll be interesting watching the launches. Thanks so much for being with us today. Bob Phibbs, CEO of The Retail Doctor and RetailDoc.com in New York. Still ahead, Entrepreneur Friday, we will meet the CEO of one of the fastest growing golf course management companies in the country.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. WBBM Business News, sponsored by Baird. And from Bloomberg, here's Mark Mills.
Well, the major stock indexes are pretty quiet as we close out the week. Investors are absorbing the latest earnings reports, which were positive for Amazon and Ford and disappointing for Intel and ExxonMobil. Ford is up 10% today. Intel is down 10%. The Dow's up 14 points. The S&P 500 up about 3 points, 0.1%. The Nasdaq is down about 0.1%. Toyota plans to begin building two more Lexus SUVs in Canada, according to people familiar with the matter. The Japanese automaker will produce the Lexus NX crossover and three-row version of its luxury brand top-selling RX sport utility vehicle in Cambridge, Ontario, starting next year. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities.
We have mixed prices at the Board of Trade this morning. July corn up 4.25 at 361.5. December up 3.25 at 380.5. July soybeans down 5 at 867.75. November's down 4.75 at 888.5. And we have July wheat up 1.5 at 44.30. Grains, corn, wheat higher, beans lower. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities Normal. You can reach us at 800-779-1515.
Thanks, Pete. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg up 0.9%. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Mark Mills, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the stories that are moving the markets today.
Stocks are struggling to gain ground. We'll see what's impacting the markets.
Entrepreneur Friday will meet the head of an expanding golf course management company who is based here in Chicago.
The worker and supervisor responsible for the case of a murdered A.J. Friend are placed on administrative leave by the Department of Children and Family Services.
On Wall Street today, the Dow Industrials up 10, the S&P 500 up 3.5, and the Nasdaq down 6.
58 degrees in Chicago under fair skies. The wind out of the northwest at 18 miles an hour, gusting to 35, going up to 63. Three today, but snow on the way tomorrow. The Noon Business Hour continues, presented by Old Second Bank. And markets are mixed at this hour. We're joined by Paul Nolte, who is the portfolio manager at Kingsview Asset Management, based in Chicago. Paul, you'd think when you have a GDP report such as the one that came out this morning with 3% growth in the first quarter, you would believe that the markets would be doing somersaults and jumping for joy because it exceeded expectations to such a degree. But it's rather tepid today. It's all three major indices are hugging the flat lines. So what's going on Wall Street today?
Yeah, it's one of those reports that it's yes, but, and there's a lot of caveats around the GDP number. Some of it was a big jump in government spending, inventories, and then around trade. We imported a lot less, exported a lot more, and those add to the GDP. So a lot of people are looking at that going, well, we may not see that again next quarter or into the third quarter. That's one part of it. The other part is the earnings numbers haven't been all that terrific. We got a big miss by Intel yesterday, and there's some concern that we're seeing global growth slowing down. They were highlighted in Intel's numbers. They were highlighted by UPS and 3M earlier in the week. So we're looking at the economic data as well as some of the earnings data, and looking forward, going, well, where is the next catalyst going to be? And I think a lot of investors are kind of scratching their head thinking, I'm not sure. And that's part of the reason why we've kind of struggled here the last couple trading days.
Are there certain events that are rolling off the books in terms of affecting the economy one way or the other? Last year, a lot of the numbers were driven by the after effects of the tax cut, the government shutdown weighing down or at least impacting economic output in the first part of this year. Is it safe to say that the shutdown is far in the rearview mirror when it comes to economic impact?
Oh, I think so, because you have seen, you know, the low point really when you look at a lot of the economic data points that come out monthly, December and January were probably the low point. And I think part of the reason why investors were very willing to bid up stocks in January, February, and March was the anticipation that that would probably be the worst that we would see all year and things would improve going forward. But that being said, you got to be careful about what you wish for. If the economy is truly picking up, then maybe the Fed steps in off the sidelines, and that's one of the catalysts really to higher stock prices has been the Fed that has stepped back and said, we're just going to be patient here.
What do we see from consumers?
Consumers actually continue to spend. The retail sales numbers were pretty good. The consumer part of GDP was pretty good. And again, that may be a little bit of a drag going forward as we're all noticing energy prices. What it costs to fill up a tank of gas is a lot more. And while the Fed may pass that off as transitory or not going to be something that's permanent, it's certainly going to be something that impacts consumers. And we do see that when energy prices rise like this, the consumers tend to step back a little bit from their overall spending.
What kind of stocks are popular among consumers when there is a situation like we've been explaining here?
You know, some of the stuff that does not go away, and is while Amazon is still tied to spending, we saw in their report yesterday very good top-line growth and continued spending and investment by Amazon. So a lot of the major companies still are doing very well, a Microsoft, Amazon, even Facebook, even in the face of all the issues that they have with the FTC, a lot of people are using Facebook even more so now than a year ago. So a lot of the bigger technology names, social media tends to do, still continues to do well here.
We'll go in depth on this in 20 minutes, but there are a lot of smiling faces at Ford headquarters in Dearborn, Michigan this afternoon. What is driving the stock price at Ford?
You know, it's interesting, and we've noticed this over the past 4 or 5 years. It comes down to product mix with both Ford and General Motors. And as I alluded to earlier, the higher energy prices do have an impact on what cars or trucks people buy. As energy prices go up, they tend to go to more energy-efficient vehicles, which are not as profitable for the companies. When energy prices fall, they tend to go for the trucks and the SUVs, which are a lot more profitable for Ford and General Motors. And having come off very low energy prices here, the mix is a lot more favorable for both auto companies.
Thanks a lot, Paul Nolte, Portfolio Manager, Kingsview Asset Management, based in Chicago. Coming up in Entrepreneur Friday, a growing company in the golf course industry. As the noon business hour continues, it's Entrepreneur Friday, and despite the weekend weather forecast, golf season is swinging into action. Let's learn more about the business of golf from Matt McEntee, the CEO of Green Golf Partners, based in Chicago. Entrepreneur Friday, sponsored by Hotels of Oak Brook. Matt, welcome to the program. First off, tell us a bit about what got you into the golf business 25 years ago.
Wow. Well, thanks for having me. And you're right. That was a bleak forecast, by the way. Gee whiz.
Got to get the golf dome out.
For golfing, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, I guess if you're going to go cross-country skiing, it's okay. I got into the business just through working for a mom-and-pop golf course many, many years ago. My folks owned a hotel, and so the hospitality business has always been in my blood. I played golf professionally for a while, and then just found my niche on the operating and management side.
There have been numerous studies that have said that golf in general and country club membership are two things that are really starting to decline as the baby boomer generation hands the keys over to millennials and Generation Z and beyond. And yet, 2 weeks ago, America was glued to its TVs on Sunday afternoon watching Tiger Woods come back and win the Masters. Does that enthusiasm for golf, for watching golf superstars, does that get people to pick up a bag and some clubs and go out in the course?
Well, absolutely it does. I think Tiger has had an effect. There's only been two players in history that have ever had the effect like that, and that's Tiger and Arnold Palmer. And I think this time around it'll have a much bigger effect because it'll affect different generations. First time around it was a lot of kids, and the kids are very important, don't get me wrong, but this time we've got people that will view golf as something that they can do socially. It can for health and exercise, and he's a guy that can move the needle.
You talk about superstars in the sport that move the needle, but there's also cultural moments that also move the needle when it comes to golf. And in your 25 years of golf course management, facilities management, how many people have become diehard golfers either because of Caddyshack or Happy Gilmore?
Oh, wow. I tell you one thing, you won't be able to run into a golfer that can't quote a line from either one of those two movies for sure. And, that to me, like Bill Murray is a great example. He's just launched a line of golf clothing, and he and his wackiness have inspired a lot of golfers. There's no question about it.
How about women? In terms of, since we're talking teenagers, of what here in our culture, we've got the teenagers are starting to notice the golf and the 20 year generation. What about women in general?
Well, golf is huge. We on our part, we hosted the Women's PGA Championship, and there's so many young women professionals that are, I almost see as much or more inspiration on that side with Lexi Thompson and some of the other great players. And if you go to any of the junior golf events, the IJGA, or you go attend these tournaments, the amount of young women that are there and just completely enthusiastic and attached to these players is incredible. It's that part of the business, I think, the business as a whole is growing again. But the young women are very, very passionate, and it's a great opportunity for them. Both in high school and college, there's just amazing opportunities for women in golf.
Well, Matt, nice to meet you. Thanks for joining us today. Matt McEntee is CEO of Green Golf Partners here in Chicago. Still to come, it appears the redesign at Ford is a major success.
An hour of financial planning each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Ford is reporting an outstanding first quarter, with shares in the economy posting the biggest one-day gain in a decade. Let's find out why with Jeff Gilbert, CBS auto reporter in Detroit. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Jeff. So why is this happening?
Well, Ford, when they posted their first quarter earnings yesterday, they did a couple of things. First, They used it as evidence that their turnaround is really starting to pay some dividends. And they also warned that, hey, we're going to be spending some more money later this year launching new products and working on our turnaround. So this is going to be the best quarter of the year. And, you know, this has been kind of what a lot of analysts have been looking for, saying, okay, let's get some specificity about this turnaround plan. And I guess they liked what they saw.
And what did you think of what they saw?
Well, you know, people have been looking to see, okay, what's Ford going to do? A year ago, they received a lot of skepticism when they said they were going to get out of most of their sedan-based products. Well, now they're saying, look, this is one of the things that added to our bottom line. Another thing they said is, you know, we're trying our efforts to turn around our operations overseas are starting to see some traction, and we've stemmed some losses, and, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak, is in sight on those foreign operations. And here in North America, they actually improved their earnings year over year and did quite better than analysts expected. And not only have they got the F-150 bringing in a lot of profits, now they got the Ranger, and they've got a lot of new refreshed crossovers coming.
It is interesting to note, Jeff, that for all of the concentration on new technology in the automotive space, whether it's self-driving cars or newer and more fuel-efficient or possibly non-internal combustion options for moving those cars, it's the trucks and SUVs that continue to be in the driver's seat.
Exactly. But car companies, and this is where one of the big issues is they've got to spend a ton of money today to develop new versions of those pickup trucks and SUVs because the competition there is fierce, but they also have to invest a lot of money in the future to develop those automated and electric vehicles. That's why we've seen a number of partnerships, for example, Ford teaming up with an electric vehicle startup Rivian this week to build some sort of electric truck, and General Motors teaming up with Honda recently on developing automated vehicles. And I imagine we're going to see more of these partnerships in the future because this technology is very expensive and you can't throttle back on what you're doing today either.
Very quickly, Jeff, if you are an executive at Ford, you're obviously feeling pretty good about the stock price today. But what if you're about to work a line at the Torrance Avenue plant on the south side? Is it a good day for you too?
I think it's a very good day for them. They just put a big investment in that plant, and that's going to make an all-new Explorer. And again, those crossovers are what's selling.
Jeff, thank you very much. Jeff Gilbert, the CBS Auto Reporter based at WWJ Radio in Detroit, Michigan. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app. Business next.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's check Wall Street with Mark Mills.
Well, we have a story of contrasting earnings reports today, and the stock market is just kind of hanging around in the middle, little changed. Amazon and Ford won applause for their quarterly results, and those stocks are up, Ford gaining about 10%. On the flip side, disappointing reports from Intel and ExxonMobil are weighing on the markets. Both of those are members of the Dow 30, Intel off 10%. So it's kind of a sideways day to wrap up the week. The Dow's up 10 points. The S&P 500's up 3 points, a tenth of a percent. The Nasdaq's down a couple of points, not much of a fraction there. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg up 0.9%. Discover Financial among the better performers today, up 4.5%. Toyota plans to begin building two more Lexus SUVs in Canada, according to people familiar with the matter. The economy gathered momentum during the first quarter, expanding at a surprising 3.2% clip. Trade and a buildup in business inventories offset weakness in consumer spending and business investments. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Mark Mills, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
Sponsored by FinishingChicago.com.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.